Okay, this teaching is adjunct to the teachings I'm doing on epithumia, which means lust. And when we see epithumia, we're basically focusing on the sexual aspect of it. And I used to say, you know, lust could be anything. It could be wanting to sew, you know, all day long, sewing too much or whatever. We kind of joked about that, but that was a half-hearted attempt to kind of keep the situation light. Okay. I no longer feel the need to keep it light. I feel the need to expose this subject as fully as possible, as much as I can. And so, I wanted to give you a teaching on healing from lustful behaviors. And I do want to say that most problems that you encounter are going to be caused by lust. And it very well could be sexual lust, but it's going to be lust, because lust also includes Old Testament things like thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Well, that's lust. Or belongings or possessions or things like that. So we can get into material things too. But we're going to focus on the sexual aspect of it, because that's where it makes sense. If you have problems with lust, and you might not even know if you do, but if you have problems with lust, sexual lust, then the answer for your healing is agape. Agape is the healer, and that was a gift from God. Well, that means that you got to stop one thing and start another, right? You got to stop the activities that are causing the problems, but you also have to walk according to agape. So there's activity that's required by you to replace the activity that you're not supposed to be doing. Agape is in everything. And so I do have another teaching I'm going to do, not today, but it's basically the Romans doctrine of, on lust. We've been given very specific doctrine in Romans, and I might do that the next time we're together. I'm not sure. But Romans lays it out. That's doctrine. That's like how you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to think and believe. And they're very, very powerful doctrinal statements. That's what prompted this study and expose the beauty of how God gave us agape so that we could deal with this horrific thing called epithumia, this horrific thing called covetousness. It's horrific. There's nothing good about it at all. Let me give you the strongest statement up front. And it could be that you might need to completely abstain from anything sexual. Okay. Maybe, you know, if you want to be a baby about it, maybe a day. If you want to be little older, maybe a week. If you want to really be a mature Christian, maybe your entire life, unless you're trying to have a baby, procreation. Okay? That's the boldest statement I could make. And now I got that off my chest. Now we can talk about these three things. In the Bible, God has cited three specific areas in which sexual lust can ruin a Christian's life. He also provided us with three powerfully specific methods for dealing with sexual lust. And really, it's one, because it's always the same answer. Romans contains doctrine to every Christian on this topic. 2 Timothy contains leadership admonition. And 1 Peter contains guidance for fulfilling an agape lifestyle. All related to lust, all related to agape being the solution. Romans, 2 Timothy, and 1 Peter. That's where these are going to show up. Three situations in which believers could find themselves trapped by sexual lust are, now if you're not paying attention, stop what you're doing, sit down and focus. And if you can't, then this teaching is being recorded. Love you very much, but this is like the here and now, and this is what needs to be heard now. Number one, being completely asleep to the topic of lust. Number two, still performing youthful lust pursuits. And number three, continuing or contending with carnal inclinations. Like where you contend with carnal inclinations. You're inclined to carnal inclination and you're contending. It's like a war, a battle. Any of you at war with lust? Well, that's what that's talking about. If any of these things apply to you, the solution is single and entire to walk according to the Agape Christian Code of Conduct. Well, let's begin. Turn to Romans chapter 13. And this section of verses 8 through 11 teach us, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt agape. So agape is a commandment. If you're better than God and bigger than God, then you don't have to live according to agape. That's your business. My business is to say what the word says. Thou shalt not lust, thou shalt agape. And the doctrine sums up in four words. Wake up, no lust. We are not allowed to have lust. And we can get there. That's a place we need to be. So these are commandments. Romans 13 verse 8. Owe no man anything but to agape one another, to behave according to the agape characteristics to one another. For he that agapeo another, the person who is walking according to agape with another, hath fulfilled the law. I don't know if you can even see how big that is. Wow, and how much time that spans. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Epithumio, that is lust. Thou shalt not lust. And if there be any other commandment, and there are about 900 of them, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt agapeo thy neighbor as thyself. So if you want to do all the laws, you know, if you're so hot and heavy on the Ten Commandments and think that that's got to be publicized all day long, every day, no matter where you go, in every church, in every school, and everywhere, how about this one? Thou shalt agapeo thy neighbor as thyself. That's what needs to be publicized. Thou shalt live according to the Christian code of conduct as listed in 1 Corinthians 13 with your neighbor. And you're supposed to do it with yourself too. You need to agapeo yourself. Not just your neighbor, but you too. Are you agapeoing yourself? Verse 10, agape worketh no ill to his neighbor. There is no ill in the Christian code of conduct. There is none. Therefore, agape is the fulfilling of the law. And that was their big problem. They couldn't do a bunch of works without ill showing up. And so by living according to agape, you're in effect living according to those over 900 laws. Wow. Verse 11. So if you want to be a great Christian, you want to brag about how cool you are, you go, wow, look at me, I'm a great believer. Man, you get agape under your belt, you have the right to brag. But then one of the characteristics of agape is to not brag. Okay. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, there's a little thing about sleeping. I wonder what that's getting at. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we're supposed to wake up out of sleep. if you allow lust to reign, thou shalt not covet, but you still have lust, you let it reign, that's the idea, you're doing lustful things, then you are asleep. That's a sad state of affairs. You're a walking zombie. You're asleep. You might look like a Christian on the outside and have your fingernails trimmed and haircut and all that, but you're asleep. You are told that lust is not permitted in the Christian walk and are specifically instructed to wake up. The great counter to such slumbering and negative activities is to behave according to agape. Wow, not bad, huh? Hey, let's jump into Timothy. Let's see what Timothy says about that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we've learned the Romans doctrine is a clarion call to wake up and not have lust. That means you don't let it be in your head even. That might take a bit, okay? Well, the bit it takes is agape. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, agape, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So flee is the word fugo. It means to run away, to shun, cause to vanish, to escape from. Youthful is neoterikos, and it means appertaining to younger persons. Well, it doesn't always appertain to younger persons, but it's the reference. So you might be an old person, but you still might have these tendencies, and you haven't fleed from it, so it drives you. And I gotta say this thing about sexual intercourse. The world has portrayed this thing as, you know, who can go the longest and have the most fun. They call it pleasure. But I don't believe that sex is for pleasure. If it is, it's a real cheap alternative, because sex is not pleasurable. I mean, what about sex is pleasurable? Okay. Going at it for 3 or 4 hours, coming up with new ways, inventive ways, and following all of Satan's advices. Do you know that the Jewish owners of all the porn sites and all the sexual paraphernalia sites just love you not knowing what the word says, because they want you to keep trying all their new stuff so that you always covet. They always want you to covet. See how detrimental this is and destructive to a person's faith and desire to have a pure heart and walk before God holy. And so this whole concept of pleasure and sex is really a misnomer. Now, I would say that maybe eating a hamburger is pleasurable because it lasts, I don't know, you can let that last 30 minutes. How long would you take to eat hamburger and french fries and drink a milkshake? All bad for you, but how long would you do that? Or maybe going on a vacation. You want to go to Acapulco for a week? Now, I'd say that might be a pleasure because you can relax. That's a week. But, you know, sex? How long does that last? I mean, in reality, the actual moment that everybody is trying to achieve in their little sex acts, is it even seconds? I mean, how could that even be pleasure? It's a release, especially if you're trying to have a baby, because that's what it's for. But as for pleasure, that's a cheap alternative, if you ask me. I'm only saying this. This is uncharted ground here, folks. And I don't want you to get offended, but I do want you to think about it. You know, I think most marriages, if not all, would be a lot happier if they didn't have sex. because then you bring in all the things of 1 Corinthians 7, and then it becomes just this battle of life, just for childbearing. And like you guys that married your beautiful high school sweetheart, soon as you got her pregnant, she was no longer your beautiful high school sweetheart. She became a mother, and you can't treat her like a beautiful high school sweetheart anymore. You got to treat her like who she is. She's a mother. And then when she has kids, you've got to treat her like a mother with kids. So it's the whole relationship changes, and you can't have youthful lusts and youthful activities if you have changed the playing field, which you have, because it was your seed, man. And so there's just a whole lot of things to think about, but I don't want you to be offended, but I think that marriages could very well be much better off without sex. And that way, you know, the man, he's storing up his semen and all that. It's building things in his life that otherwise cannot mature. And then the woman is not burdened by that same type of thing. And they both can achieve greater heights and greater accomplishments, and be more free to live according to God's purpose. There's a billion things that come up in your mind. I know that. And we can talk about all those, but this is just kind of laying the groundwork right now. So if you think that the lust thing that you're always thinking about, oh, I gotta go get some, gotta go have some, you know, is natural. It's not. It's wrong. Thou shalt not covet. You're not supposed to have lust. Even when you think about your beautiful high school sweetheart wife, who's now maybe, older, you're not supposed to have lust for her. It's wrong. She's not an object. It's wrong. Or women, the same way with men. Although I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as the men side of it. But we've all been taught how to live wrongly, and we have to unlearn that. But can you imagine what it would be like if you were free to live and you said, hey, I think it's, you know, you married couple, I think it's time that we actually have a child. Let's bring a child in. And the man has not released his seed for years. It's fully matured. There's things that happen to it over time if it's not dropped to the earth. And there's a maturity that happens. And I think the sperm takes like, what, 90 days to mature? Can you imagine having something like that impregnate the woman and what kind of kid it would be? So there's just a lot of ramifications, but it's certainly not about pleasure. And so would it be pleasurable if you hadn't had any type of release for 2 or 3 years and all of a sudden you did because you wanted to have a kid? Yeah, you wouldn't forget that one. And so there's just a lot of things to think about along these lines. And it's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, he goes, I speak by permission, not by commandment. I mean, you know, we're talking about this stuff, okay? We're just talking about this stuff. So if you're facing this thing where you cannot flee the youthful lust, or you're still acting like a kid because the lusts have gotten such a hold on you, it's certainly not that you're supposed to be active sexually. That's definitely not the reason, okay? Because you're not supposed to be. There's so many verses in the Bible that tell you you're not supposed to be, okay? So if you're not supposed to be, then, sorry, I had a little distraction here. But if you're, you know, listening to what the world says, you could very well be completely misled. Please just bear with this and understand that God gave us His word so that we could be free and live the more than abundant life, which I don't think is sexual, okay, at all. I don't think it has anything to do with sex. It might have to do with having a kid, but it doesn't have to do with sex. And if you're seeking pleasure, go on a vacation, okay? Go swimming and make it last an hour, okay? I don't know. Go listen to some music and listen to music for like 3 hours. That's a whole lot better, wouldn't you say? So flee means to run away and escape, to make the vanish. And then follow, it says, but follow, it's to pursue. You run after it, righteousness. And let's focus on agape. You run after agape to make sure you're doing it. But then the call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The pure heart comes front and center because we're supposed to be purifying our hearts. You can purify your heart by your thoughts and by a absence of evil or bad actions. So if you still seek youthful sexual fulfillment, this applies to you. Flee juvenile lusts. Flee them. Do not seek fulfillment in this manner. Rather, pursue agape. Run away from the lust and run to live the agape lifestyle. And the third one is Peter's doctrine, I call it. So we had Timothy's doctrine and we had Paul's in Romans, but they're all God's. And so Peter's doctrine in 1 Peter chapter 2 is to abstain from fleshly lust. Have you ever read that? Abstain from fleshly lust? Well, what in the world does that mean? It means you shouldn't be doing it. Huh. Well. Oh, okay. What does that mean? So 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved. Now, dearly beloved is agapetos. Agapetos. And these are people who are living the Christian code of conduct. They're living this. They know it, they believe it, and they live it. Dearly agapetos, dearly people who are living the Christian code of conduct, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, it's interesting that even though these people were living according to agape, Peter still said, I'm talking to you, I'm beseeching you as if you were strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Oh, okay. I like that. I think that's kind of what I've been saying. But it's giving more meat to it. So you wonderful, wonderful believers who live according to agape, I'm going to talk to you like you're just strangers and pilgrims for a minute. Bear with me. You're not strangers and pilgrims, except on the earth. But not to the family of God, and definitely not to agape. Abstain, and it's apekomai, and it means to hold oneself off. Abstain, to hold yourself back from it. Don't do it. Don't let it capture you. From fleshly lusts. And that's talking about epithumia, lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, that's body things, and obviously sexual. Which war, and that's strateomai, and it means to contend with carnal inclinations. So the subject focus is sexual. Okay, don't say it's not. It is. And it's contending with carnality. It's contending with sexual vices and things like that. And the contention is against your soul. So we see Peter's doctrine, so to speak, is to abstain from fleshly lust, to hold oneself off, away from them. And that means that you shouldn't have them at all. No, that's going to the end of the spectrum. You say, well, I want a little bit. Okay, well, that's your business. But you're going to get a little bit of the war, too. And you're going to feel it in your soul, too. In this foreign land, as agape-minded Christians, if your souls are at war with carnal inclinations, then this applies to you. So at the highest level, to curtail lustful behavior, Christians are commanded the following. In all cases and every situation, to behave according to the agape Christian code of conduct. That is the solution for repair and rejuvenation. So in Romans, we're told to wake up and behave. If you allow lust to reign, you are asleep. wake up. Lust is not permitted in the Christian walk. To wake up, you behave according to agape. In Timothy, we're taught to flee and pursue. If you seek youthful sexual fulfillment, flee youthful lusts. Pursue agape to purify your heart and begin calling on the Lord. Flee lust, pursue agape. And in 1 Peter, and I will close with this one, abstain and behave. As an agape-minded believer, if you battle with carnal inclinations, hold off from fleshly lust. To stop the war, behave according to agape. That's it. I love you guys.